What a morning. Wow. You know what? You know, you spend time preparing for a Sunday morning and getting up early and trying to think about what God wants to share. And you feel very humble being one person sharing what God's saying to me, to the church. But how amazing to hear the church speak this morning and God speak through so many people. What an amazing idea to get people talking about what God has done in your lives. We are a church. It's not about one or two. It's about all of us. We are here together as a church bringing our gifts and talents. And that's very much what I want you to share this morning. So we are on to part five, episode five of It Is Time. And the title of this episode is Rising to the Challenge. So how did you get here? By car? By car? By car? Now, I thought most people would answer that question by car, maybe walking on the bike. But how did you get here? It's the 5th of June, 2022. Don't know if you're like me, but you might have spent the evening last night watching and reflecting on the concert in London and reflecting on the last 70 years of the Queen's reign. How did you get here? 5th of June, 2022. What brought you to these four walls? There's nothing special in these four walls. In fact, quite the opposite, as Pete shared with us earlier. When he first came, it was just rubble in here. It's slightly better than it was. But there was nothing special on the outside of this building. There's no glowing light that lights the path to this particular building. But it's about, as we've heard already this morning, the church. It's about the church being together. Look around. We're all from different walks of life. Some of us have known Jesus since the 60s, as I found out this morning. Some of us a little later than that, in the 80s, and some of us all the way through perhaps for the last few years. We found Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Different walks of life, different people, different circumstances, but yet, the 5th of June, 2022, we're all sat together here in this room or watching online. God has brought us together as his church. So I'm going to be talking to you about a journey and what happens next. Well, we've heard through the book of Ezra the story of the temple being rebuilt, and we are now going to rejoin the journey, and there are problems. Ezra tells us of the temple being rebuilt, but the walls of Jerusalem still have not been repaired, and the city remains undefended and open to attack. Sounds like something out of Star Wars. But enter Nehemiah. Now, bear with me. I'm going to read you chapter 1 of Nehemiah and then all the way up to verse 10 of chapter 2. So if this works, it does. Amazing. I'm going to go through it. Now, I'll do my best to set the scene here in terms of my reading, but you need to sort of picture what's going on here and the situation that Nehemiah was in. So, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, now it happened in the month of Chislev in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who have survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your saint that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel which have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, Though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. And give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now, I was the cupbearer to the king. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence, and the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone? And when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy." And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent me officers of the army and horsemen. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. Father, as we look through this part of the scripture, Lord, we want to open our hearts and our minds to you yet again, and our souls be open to you, Lord, to hear from you, to hear from your word, to understand what this means, and to try and, in some respects, learn together as we go deeper with you, Lord. This morning has been an amazing experience of hearing more of you and how you have changed people's lives. Just one touch from heaven, Lord God. Just an amazing touch from heaven, Lord. And we are changed, we are transformed. And I pray that we would be open to hear from you again this morning. We want to be closer to you, Lord. We want to tune our eyes and our lives to you and follow your way. So speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I go any further, I like a puzzle. I like a challenge. And I'm quite addicted to Wordle. So here's my Wordle for today. I know it's not the actual Wordle, just in case you haven't done it and you're worried I'm going to reveal my secrets. This isn't the Wordle. This is just a made-up Wordle that I made up this morning to get to the bottom word. Now, you might be looking at me and saying, six attempts to get to the word scope. That's pretty poor. But bear with me. So the word I'm going to go with this morning is scope. And the reason why I've gone with that is because if you remember anything, like me, you link things back to mnemonics and words and letters and so on, and probably for me, more importantly, numbers more often than not. But here's the word for this morning, scope. What's your scope? At the outset of a project, you have to determine what's in and out of scope. And that's quite important, because in my experience, in my work, when you don't define the scope correctly, it tends to go on for a long, long time, and it tends to cost a lot of money, and no one really knows where they're going. Okay, so we define our scope at the outset. And so I've got a few questions for you today that I'm going to raise, and you can think about them throughout the course of the morning and into the afternoon, but I want to know what our scope is with God. Are we withholding things from God? Have we given him scope over our whole lives? Are we all in? Now, you might be thinking, "Wow, James, but my all-in is pretty small, pretty insignificant. What does it matter?" I love the fact that God is the God of the percentages. doesn't matter how big our offering, he just wants 100%. And so if you're sat there this morning thinking my offering is nowhere near as great as the person sat to my left or to the right, nonsense. God wants our 100%. All of us. Everything that's happening in our lives. He wants to be with us 24/7. Now I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to everyone else here today. And I can tell you that God wants everything. Why? Because when we give him everything, we glorify him. We bring glory to him. How often do you wake up in the morning and reflect perhaps on the day before? And I've got a few little stories that might just highlight my own failings, my own flaws, where I've not been able to give God 100%. But I want to be able to give everything. I don't want to withhold anything from my God. I want to be all in. See, I want us to find the heart of God this morning. That's what I pray. That's what I desire this morning. So if we pull apart those five words, five letters even, we end up with the word scope. And I've slightly rearranged scope, so apologies, because it fits quite nicely with the five key points that I've got this morning. But you can see on the left-hand side of the screen, the word scope has been slightly rearranged, and I've come up with five words that reflect the passage that we've read this morning. Observe, seek, prepare, courage, and enact. And in many ways, this is a bit of a key for our lives more generally, and I'm going to explain why. So here we go. So here's the first one. Observe. We see Nehemiah seeing the need. He sees the need in Jerusalem. His eyes are open. He is aware. What's the first thing he does? He seeks. Seeks first his God. He's steadfast in prayer before the Lord. He's prepared. There's a willingness in his heart to serve God. A willingness, a desire to serve God. Then he takes courage, taking the opportunity that comes his way. And we'll have a quick look at that in a bit. And then fifth point, enact. He rises to the challenge. He's ready to go. And we'll hear more about that in the weeks ahead. But for now, those are the five words that sum up what we've read this morning. So let's look at the first one then. So observing, seeing the need. Now, when I was thinking about seeing the need, this picture came to my mind that sometimes we can walk around with a blindfold on, and I'm as guilty as anybody else of this, and you miss the needs of the church. And sometimes it can be very simple needs in people's lives, in the church. You can look around this morning and you can find needs. A good example, the pens I'm sure my daughter has thrown all over the floor. I need to be able to clean them up at the end of the service. It's a need. It's something that has to happen, right? And that's a very simple example. But there will be needs. Reese has already encouraged us this morning. If you've been touched by God and you want prayer this morning, we want to commit to praying for you today. Don't go home without having somebody pray with you and pray through something that you might be going through. There may be needs in your own lives this morning. We've needed to bring some food along this afternoon so we can enjoy the Jubilee together. There are needs in the church, and if you look around, there are some amazing people that meet needs every day. Now, we often walk around with our eyes shut, but let me just read this verse to you. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We're encouraged to bring our gifts before the Lord, to serve one another. So here we go. Here's another couple of questions for you to contemplate. What needs do you see in the church today? And if the answer to that question is, I don't see any, just go and talk to a few people afterwards. Go and have some food. We'll share some food together this afternoon. I can't wait to share food together. It's been such a long time since we've been able to share food together. But go and find out what the needs. Could God be calling you to bring the answer this morning? Are you open to that? Could God be wanting to use you this morning to meet the need of somebody sat around by you? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be great to hear testimonies of God using people in the church to meet needs of others? I love hearing people talk about God at work in their lives. And we can be blind to the needs of the church, either intentionally or unintentionally. Or we can, as I said before, we can restrict ourselves by thinking we can't do it or someone else is better at doing this than me. We all started somewhere. We all took a leap of faith and tried something a bit different. I'll never forget that first morning that I led worship in the church with a guitar that I couldn't play. I'm sure it wasn't a great experience for the vast majority of the people in the congregation, but they were able to bear with me. I still remember playing bass guitar in the band with my dad, who's a concert pianist, and I could barely strum a chord, and most notes were either wrong or way louder than his magnificent piano playing. But people were able to bear with me. I still can't play the bass that well, but I try. But the point being, there are gifts and talents. That's a simple example, but there are gifts and talents we all have. We bring our very little, and God brings it together. And that's what happened this morning. You see how different people brought little things together, little experiences? What did that do for us? It inspired us. It caused our spirits to rise because you could hear God at work. Nehemiah shows us the importance of seeing the need, and he is visibly torn by the situation. We read verse 4, he sat down and wept and mourned for days. Do you weep and mourn for situations in the church, for people? I can't say I've ever done it for days, but I have found at times God can move you. You can feel compassion for another person. Mark my words, I know my father is at home and has been for the last however many years weeping and mourning for our church day after day after day. I got to see Mum and Dad for the first time in 6 months 2 weeks ago, and it was great but hard. And I could see the pain and the difficulties that they're going through, but yet their eyes fixed on Jesus and knowing, and I know he does, I know he's watching right now, I know he's weeping and praying for the church, for every one of us, every day. That blows my mind. When I try and think of one person to pray for, I don't know what to pray. But we need to constantly be praying for one another. Nehemiah sat down and wept and mourned for days. He sought God first. But first, pray. Now, I'm the sort of person that likes to jump to a solution. That's who I am. I'm a problem solver at heart. And so give me a problem, I'll try and find a solution. That hasn't worked particularly well in my marriage over the years, when Becky says, will you stop trying to find a problem and just listen to me? So I've now learned in recent years to say to her, do you want me to solve the problem or do you need me to just listen? Somebody wise once told me that. And that's helped me quite a lot. And that's useful advice. Pete, that's useful advice. Do you want me to solve the problem or do you want me to just listen? And 99 times out of 100, it's just listen. So I jump into the problem and try and solve it straight away. And that cropped up for me recently. And I learned a valuable lesson, which Becky taught me actually, which is God is the God of the big things, but he's also the God of the small things. Now you might say, well, that's obvious, James. Well, let me give you my example. I'm not good at dealing with conflict. I don't like to be out of sorts with anybody in any part of my life, work, church, home, any part of my life. I like to know I'm in positive relations with everyone. And I had a very small, random conflict with an individual, and they probably didn't think anything of it. But it tore me to shreds. And I couldn't cope in work. I couldn't focus. I didn't know what to do. I tried to solve the problem myself. I tried to fix it. I spent days trying to fix it. And Becky knew I was tormented. She could see the toil and the turmoil. And now, if I told you about the example, you'd just laugh at me, but this is who I am. The fact of any one person being upset about me tore me apart. I'll tell you another example in a minute as well. But it tore me apart, and I didn't know what to do. And I remember driving into work, this is a couple of weeks ago, on a Friday morning, and I said, Lord, it seems foolish. I don't know why I'm even bringing this to you, but Lord, it's troubling me, and it's putting me off my work. I don't know what to do, Lord. I barely know this individual, and I feel like I've offended them. I don't know what to do, Lord. I'm at my wit's end, and it's such a small, simple example. I'd rather be praying for the church or for big things, but Lord, I'm just bringing this before you. I don't know what to do. That afternoon, the person called me. Now, you might say, well, that's not unusual, James. I've never spoken to this person before in my life on the phone. They're not in my mobile. I don't know how they got my number. They phoned me that afternoon whilst I was in work. I was so shocked. I almost dropped the phone. And I had the opportunity to say, look, I hope I haven't offended you in any way. No, not at all. And the person thought about the situation that had arisen. And I felt I'd done what I could. That evening, he texted me to say the situation has been resolved. One day, it took God to break in and solve my problem. And I tell you what, the weight off my shoulders, just feeling that I hadn't offended somebody or put somebody out, was better than anything else. And I can remember going home and Becky said, well, that's because you committed it to the Lord. Yeah, good point. I did try to solve it in the previous weeks, but couldn't bring a resolution. I'd gone everywhere, and I'll maybe tell you about the situation afterwards. But first, prayer. I can't stress how important it is to just bring things to the Lord, even the small things, and He hears us. It says in James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I sometimes get those mixed up and go the other way around, but quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And, you know, we put some, I remember as a kid, Mum used to print out, I'm going to show my age now, we didn't have a printer back in those days. She used to hand write out Bible verses, and she put them on the fridge. And I'm sure she thought in her own simple way that it didn't have much of an effect. It did for me, because even now today, we still do that with our children. And right now on our fridge, it's not on our fridge, it's on our cupboard, but it doesn't really matter where you put it, is the verse from James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And those Bible verses are a constant reminder to me of what God is doing in our lives. You know, in Becky's parents' house, I remember going to see them on regular occasion. They would have various different Bible verses up, displayed in and around the place. And there was always one, Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. This is what it says in Nehemiah twice. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, His ears toward their cry. God hears even the small things. Even the little things in your life, God hears. And guess what? This might shock you. He is able to intercede. Praise God for those constant reminders of His scriptures, of His truth to us. So that's number two. Number three is being prepared, a willingness to serve. I took this quote and I thought it was quite nice. The greatest joy that I know in this life is serving the Lord. It's great to serve the Lord. In Philippians 2, which Alex read out this morning, and you read just from the point I finished, I was tempted to put the second part in, but I didn't, and you read it out. This is God at work. So here we go. This is the first part of Philippians 2. It says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Nehemiah knew, return to me and keep my commandments. He was determined to return to Jerusalem to help the people follow God's commands and rebuild the wall. And I love that at the end of that, those few verses, verse 11, I should say, it says, I'll just read it as it's written. Now I was cupbearer to the king. You know, the cupbearer historically is an officer of high rank in the royal courts, must have been regarded as thoroughly trustworthy to hold the position. His confidential relations with the king often gave him a position of great influence. Now, we've just seen this, haven't we, over the last couple of days, the splendor of the UK in all its glory. I mean, some of the lighting and the music and everything that went on last night, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it for a couple of hours, even Paddington turning up just blew my mind. It was quite phenomenal, quite amazing to see. But I'm sure the Queen has some people near her who she completely trusts with her life There will probably be a few people that she completely trusts. This was Nehemiah's situation. He was the cupbearer. He was closest to the king. Now, I love the fact that he didn't use his position of influence or abuse his power, but he waited for the opportunity. And God brought about the opportunity. So he was willing to serve. He was ready to go. He knew what he needed to do. But he didn't work the situation around to enable him to bring about the solution. He still waited for God, for God's timing. And we read in the next few, in the next chapter, Nehemiah taking the opportunity. He's ready. He waits for the king to look and say, "Why are you sad? What is troubling you?" And at that moment, in fear of what could happen, afraid of what the king might do, Nehemiah brings his requests. And it says God brought about the situation, intervened. God was for him. God was in him and able to give him what he needs. It says in Joshua 1, verse 9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Be ready. And do you know what I love about this? God can use your earthly situation for his good, for his church. Do you sometimes think, like, we come together on a Sunday morning and we have a great moment, great opportunity to worship God, and then we go into our lives, and it can sometimes feel very distant from a Sunday morning, from church life? You know, God's at work with you. He goes with you into work. That's quite amazing. That in the various, look around the room, there are people from very different backgrounds, different professions, doing very different things. I'm sure if we all looked at switching jobs, we probably wouldn't enjoy the different jobs we do. Goodness knows how Pete stands up in front of a classroom of young people every day. I just couldn't do that. Give me an hour, that'd be me done. But there are different gifts and talents that we all have, and we all go through different jobs and situations in our own lives. But God is with us, and God goes before us, and God can use those situations. And I'm sure we can all think of times when God's used our earthly situation for good. That's amazing. I love the fact that God is at work 24/7 and not just on a Sunday morning as we come before him. We're not all amazing evangelists like Steve, you see, but we all get the opportunity to evangelize, right? So he was courageous. He took the opportunity. He was ready to go. And I'm going to finish up with this last one. In Acts, he was ready to rise to the challenge. I like this quote as well that I picked up. "Faith tells me that no matter what lies ahead of me, God is already there." You see, it takes courage. You've got to be bold to step out in faith, but God is already there. Let me ask you this. Is God calling you today? Are we ready to move forward as his church? Are you ready to hear the call of God and move? There are times in my life that I can remember distinctly hearing a call of God on my life. And in fact, one of them was probably 1996, 97, only a mile away from here, where I went along to Cardiff University for a young people's conference. Now, I think I might have shared this before, but if you ever want a response to an altar call, you want to go along to like a young people's conference and ask them to come forward if they want to hear the call of God in their lives. And everybody gets up out of their seat and just runs to the front. There's literally nobody sat in their chairs, because certainly for me at that age, what would I have been, 16, 17, all you want to do is hear what God has got for you. And I don't know about you, but I kind of felt that I'd go forward and it would be made clear to me what I was going to do for the rest of my life. Well, it didn't happen that way. In fact, I couldn't even get to the front. It was so packed. And I remember standing, waiting to be prayed for, and realizing I hadn't got a hope of being prayed for. There's so many people here, and it's going to be, you know, another 20 years before they get to me. And I can distinctly remember, only a mile away from here in Talibont, we're in the student university down here, and I can remember stood at the back with my arms raised, praying to God, thinking, and I can remember thinking, "Lord, any minute now, somebody's going to come and pray for me, and they'll have a prophecy or they'll have a vision for me, and it will change my life." I remember thinking that. You know what God did? Didn't need anyone to come along. He just said, serve me, worship me, follow me. And I broke down because I thought I was waiting for this experience, this once-in-a-lifetime experience. And I realized that God speaks to us. God shows us things. He reveals things. He helps us. He calls us at times. And I knew what I needed to, get to go and do. And I walked away from that building feeling 10 feet tall, thinking, wow, I didn't need to go up the front. I didn't need something big and powerful and magical to happen. God hears. God hears our prayer. And I'm sure we can all recall times when God's called you. Is he calling you today? Do you see a need this afternoon? When you're having a bit of food, having a drink, will you be alert, ready to hear the needs of the church and ready to enact and rise to the challenge? As Pete said when he joined the church 8-9 years ago, walking in, there was nothing fancy about this building, nothing fancy about the people either, but it was family. Reese shared it again this morning. Family coming together, the church of God at work. We've brought this series about because we wanted to reflect on the fact what a 2 years it's been, but look forward to the years ahead. I'm so excited to be back together as a church, being able to worship together, being able to hear the testimonies of the church of God's people together. I thrive and love the excitement of coming together on a Sunday morning or meeting together as his church. I'm so excited and looking forward to actually sharing some food together. Wow, what a privilege. I don't ever want to take for granted the joy of meeting together. I'm going to invite the band back, and as we respond this morning, I just want you to reflect and think about those questions. Is God calling you today? And are you ready to take his church forward? What is he calling you to do? I'm just going to pray as we respond. Father, we're here humbly offering ourselves, Lord. We have nothing else. Nothing special about us, Lord God. We're ordinary people from ordinary backgrounds, ordinary lives, Lord. But yet, by the power of your Spirit, you see us as extraordinary. You see so much more than we see in ourselves, Lord. And we're amazed. We're amazed at your love toward your people. And Father, I just ask that right now, as we respond to you in worship, Lord, help us to see needs in your church. Help us to be a serving people. Help us to put others ahead of ourselves, Lord God. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, we love you. And we're so grateful that we've been able to have these times together. And we look forward to enjoying fellowship together this afternoon, Lord God. But we want you to be center. We pray that you would be center of all that we do. And Lord, as our children grow up in the church, Lord, may they catch the fire of your Spirit, Lord God. May they learn more of you, Lord, even this morning. May they be learning stories of you and see you in all your glory, Lord God, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, you reign over our lives. You see each of our hearts, our lives are laid bare before you. And you help us even with the small things. So today, Lord, as we come back into worship, we ask that you would be glorified as we give you everything, as we surrender our lives again and say, Lord, would you be first in our lives? Would you help us to turn our eyes towards Jesus? Would you help us to follow your way? In Jesus' name, amen.